And it's important for us to recognize that we as Christians are in fact at war. It's important for us to understand this. It's not, and it has never been a physical warfare. There are those who want to take and claim that God has called them to go and to do this or that great tragedy or harm in the name of God. But notice that Jesus has never asked us to take up weapons of physical warfare. When he's standing before Pilate and these charges are made, Jesus answers Pilate in John chapter 18 and verse 36. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this world." The Crusades and all of its cruelty was never ordered by God or Jesus. The Spanish Inquisition, with all of their religious, pomposity, I guess you would say, all of its cruelty was never ordered by God or Jesus. Christians have never been, nor should they ever be, called to take up physical arms to defend Christianity or to enforce Christianity. God has never desired his people to follow them because they were forced, but because they chose to follow. Remember when Jesus was betrayed in the garden, it was Peter who was the one who pulled out his sword and struck the servant's ear. If you look in John chapter 18, in verses 10 and 11, it says, "Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his ear. The servant's name was Malchus." So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath." If you look in Luke's account, he says to him, "No more of this." When you look at the stories of the martyrs of the first through the third centuries and beyond, it attests to their willingness to suffer and die for the cause of Christ, rather than to take up physical weapons of warfare for Christianity. But we need to understand that this war that we're in, it's not a physical war. We're fighting a spiritual war. If you go back to our scripture reading, in Ephesians chapter 6, there in verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." Note again, Paul is saying here that our fight is not against flesh and blood. Note that he's saying our fight is against the rulers of darkness, against the authorities or powers of darkness. Our fight is against the cosmic powers or the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. It's a spiritual battle against spiritual forces. Paul isn't referring to the rulers of this world and that we're to physically attack them, but the rulers of darkness, the spiritual forces of wickedness that are at play in this world. If you look over in the book of Jude, in Jude there in verse 6, we read of the angels who did not stay where they belonged. In Jude verse 6 it says, "And the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he is kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day." You see, we need to understand that the devil and his angels have been at work since the beginning of time, since the days of Adam and Eve when they were placed in the garden. Jesus, speaking of the devil in John chapter 8 and verse 44, said, "You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire." Note, he says, he was a murderer from the beginning. From the very beginning of time, he's a murderer and does not stand the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he's a liar and the father of lies. John writes later in one of his letters, in 1 John chapter 3, there in verse 8, he says, "Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning." The devil and his angels have been at work trying to undermine the people of God since the very beginning of time. And they've been working effectively in that in so many ways. We must never forget that we are in a spiritual battle. It's easy to just get caught up in the everyday aspects of life, to go on with our day-to-day activities and allow ourselves to forget that the devil and his angels are working their subterfuge. They're fighting tooth and nail for each and every one of us. When I was studying these things, it brought to mind, it's hard for me to believe that we've been at war. The United States has been at war against Iraq and Afghanistan the entire length of my children's lives. To think that battle has raged on, and yet we go through our day-to-day activities, and it hasn't affected us other than some friends that we've had that have been deployed over, and others that we know of that have suffered greatly in these wars. It hasn't affected our day-to-day life, and it's easy for us to forget about these things that are going on. Because our battle is a spiritual battle, it is easy to be lulled into a sense of comfort and just get caught up in our day-to-day lives and find ourselves at ease. And our enemy is not easily spotted. We need to understand the devil is not a cartoon character running around in a red bodysuit with horns and a tail and a pitchfork. The devil looks just like you and me. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, there in verse 13, Paul says, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds." In other words, he doesn't look like you would view the devil to be. He's not some twisted, contorted individual that is just made ugly through his evil. He's able to transform himself into angels of light, and his servants as well as servants of righteousness. Paul warns in Philippians chapter 3, there in verses 1 and 2, he says, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is of no trouble to me, and it is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh." You see, we need to be constantly be wary. The devil and his agents are at work, and they look just like us. They talk just like us, and perhaps are as much or more righteous in appearance than we are ourselves. Paul warned the elders of the church in Ephesus in Acts chapter 20. He said, "These false teachers, these grievous wolves, are going to come in shepherd's clothing." They're going to come from among the very eldership. Look there in Acts chapter 20 and verse 29. He says, "I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night and day to admonish everyone with tears." You see, we need to understand that one of the weapons that the devil has used quite effectively is to lift us from righteousness to self-righteousness. Amen. To lift us from being a humble servant of God to being a pridefully pious, arrogantly sanctimonious individual. We think we're the best Christian the world has ever seen, and the devil looks at us and goes, "I've got you." We need to remind ourselves that we are at war, and the enemy that we're fighting is one that slides in easily among us. Now, as we continue thinking about these things, we need to understand it's not all gloom and doom, because we are not fighting this battle alone. As you go back to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, Paul says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might." One of my favorite passages is in Romans chapter 8. And the reason it's one of my favorite passages is because it gives great comfort to me to know and to understand this promise of God and the power that He has. If you look in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 31, Paul says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect?
It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Note verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. No matter how powerful the devil and his angels may seem, no matter how effective they might be in all the aspects of this world that we're surrounded by, nothing, no power on this earth can separate us from God. We can do it. We can separate ourselves from God. But there's nothing that can cause us to be separated. The psalmist records in Psalm 118 and verse 6, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Think about it. We have the creator of this world. If you believe in the God of the Bible, and you believe that it is through his power that all of this world was created, he's there with you. His strength is there to provide for you. Jeremiah writes an amazing description, in my opinion. Jeremiah chapter 20, there in verse 11, he says, the Lord is with me as a dread warrior. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble. They will not overcome me. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. God is with us. If God is with us, who can stand against us? And we need to understand that in our weakness, that is when God makes us strong. When Paul was pleading with God concerning the thorn in the flesh that he had, three times he prayed to God to have this thorn removed. And look at God's response in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9 we read, God says to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We have the power of God there with us. And God has provided us with the spiritual armor that we need. Go back to Ephesians chapter 6. And there in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, Paul says, put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand, you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Verse 13, he says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. In verse 12, he reminds them, this is what you're fighting against, and this is why you need to take up the full armor of God. You see, God in his word has provided us as Christians with all that we need to be properly trained. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and there in verse 16 he says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. We have all that is needed, the training manual for all of this armor that God has provided, how to use it properly, what its purpose is for, and what it can do for us. It's all given to us that we might be complete, equipped for all the work that God has set before us. But you see, even with all that is provided, it's not enough to go, okay, I've got the armor of God, and I put it on. We've got to practice. We have to continually train ourselves. I have several friends that are in various different forms of military service, and they have to go out on continual training on things that they've been trained hundreds of times. They have to go back and get refresher training. Friends that are in the police, and they are constantly having to go out and go through these training exercises to make sure that they are on top of their game and they have control of themselves in difficult situations. You see, as Christians, there's a danger in us not
putting these things into practice, of not training ourselves in their use, there's a danger in not progressing. The author of Hebrews writes in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11, as he's writing to the Christians there, he's writing about Melchizedek. And he says, about this man we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. Note verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. You're not going to be able to watch a YouTube video and figure out how to use the armor of God. You're not going to be able to sit there and watch the elders and deacons of the church and the older men and women of the church and figure out how to use the armor of God. It's not something you can learn simply by watching others. Now, that can help. But we've got to put in the work. Excuse me. We've got to put in the work ourselves. We have to put in the effort. We have to have these practical applications. Live ammunition, you might say. Preparing ourselves for when we face these difficulties. We must be about working together, helping one another, sparring with one another. The wise man records in Proverbs 27 and verse 17 that iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. We are not fighting alone. We have God on our side, and we have one another. And as we consider the war before us, remembering that God is with us, that He strengthens us, that we have all this provided, then it falls on us to begin preparing to stand. Note first, to stand, we have to put on the whole armor of God. You see, we're not protected by some mystical force that surrounds us like bubble wrap to keep sin at bay. We must armor up and prepare to fight. We must put on the full spiritual armor provided by God and use it. With the whole armor on, then and only then are we able to stand against the schemes of the devil. When one considers the enemy that we face, the cosmic powers of darkness, the spiritual forces of evil, when you consider all of these things, why would you want to go out unprepared? Why would you want to go out unarmored? Again, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. There's no reason to be ill-equipped. The number of times I've had individuals tell me throughout the years, well, I would do more if I knew more. And they say this year after year after year. There's no excuse for not equipping ourselves as we should be. Again, remember in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, all Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. You have all that you need is right there.
Amen.
Now, you may have been wondering why Vincent used the other songbook for the first song and then the rest. Unfortunately, the song is in this other songbook, but it's not written the way I wanted it to be written. It's not written the way I grew up singing it. And it doesn't say, each piece put on with prayer. I love that line. That line in that song, put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. It's written differently in that, and it just did not work with what I was wanting to go here. And so that's why you had to swap songbooks. Each piece put on with prayer. You see, prayer is an important component of our armor, our practice, and our warfare. Note that Paul concludes his discussion on our Christian armor by encouraging prayer. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, he says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. You see, prayer, constant prayer, keeps us alert.
My wife and I, we've traveled a lot in our 20-some-odd years of marriage, and there'll be times where we've got a little bit further to go, and I'm starting to get tired. I'm like, you got to talk to me. It's like, I don't know what to talk about. We've been driving for 12 hours. I've run out of conversation. I don't care. You got to talk to me. It keeps me alert. Talking with God keeps us mindful. It keeps us alert. It keeps our mind focused on the task that is at hand. Prayer keeps us mindful of the dangers that we're facing. Prayer, constant prayer, helps us to persevere. In praying to God, we're reminded, I'm not alone. God is with me. God strengthens me. God has armed me with His spiritual armor. He gives me all that I need to fight the spiritual fight that is ahead. And also in praying for one another, it helps us to remember that we're not alone. There's no need for a Christian Rambo. And for those of you who are younger, ask your parents and they might explain who Rambo is. There's no need for a Christian Rambo. There are others that are fighting the battle with us. They are there to lift us up when we are weak or injured. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14, he says, "We urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all." Paul reminded the elders of the church in Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, that in all things, he says in verse 35, "In all things I've shown you that by working hard in this way we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He Himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Paul encouraged prayer. And as we look at these pieces of armor that have been given to us, and we consider the importance of each piece and what it is providing for us and what it can do for us, each piece, put on with prayer. Be mindful in the battle ahead that we're praying. Paul solicited the prayers of each congregation he wrote to, of many different people. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, in verse 1, he said, "Finally, brothers, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith." We need to prepare ourselves for battle because we are at war. It is a real battle that we face, not physical. We're not out with physical weapons forcing Christianity. That has never been the case. Jesus has never desired that. But we are fighting a true battle and we're not alone. And so we take up the whole armor of God, so that we might be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Let us be mindful of the spiritual war that is before us, of all that is going on around us. The battle rages on throughout our lives, and every moment we must be on the alert. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13, he said, "Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong." Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, he said, "You be sober-minded, watchful, because your adversary the devil," that spiritual force, that cosmic force that we're fighting against, "your adversary the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." Yes. You see, we've got to remember, we're not facing this mighty adversary alone. We have the power of the Creator of all things on our side. He is there to strengthen us through His Word. He provides for us. And as Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, if God is for us, who can stand against us? But we must prepare ourselves to stand. Steeling our nerves with prayer to a God that we know listens. We know that He answers the prayers of His children, of His soldiers. You see, you can't fight this battle alone and unarmed. There's no need to. And it's impossible to fight against the powers of the evil forces that we face all by yourself. And so the invitation is offered to you this morning, as it is every time we come together. Why not submit to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Why not become a part of the army of God? Receive the armor that is provided and prepare yourself for the battle that is ahead. If you're here and you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we encourage you to submit your life to God in humble obedience. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? That He was sent to this earth to be a sacrifice for all of our sins? If so, there's step one. Do you understand that there are things in your life that you have done that God is displeased with, that separate you from a right relationship with God? That sin, when it enters into your life and you make that choice, you choose to be separated from God. If you recognize that, then repent of the sins that you've committed, turning away from them, asking God for forgiveness, surrender your life to God through humble obedience, confessing your faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and being buried in baptism. There's the induction into the army. When we humbly submit to God's plan and obey His gospel, we're welcomed into the family of God, the army of God, the kingdom, the household of God. But only when we have humbly submitted to His plan. Then you begin that journey. And it's kind of like when someone goes into the army, they go through a 6-week basic training. And oftentimes it's a very gruel time. And it's a difficult time for new Christians. And that's where we, as their brothers and sisters in Christ, are less drill instructor and more encourager, helper, strengthener of the weak. Perhaps you're here and you've obeyed the gospel. You joined the army, but you've deserted. You've laid aside your armor. Satan and his angels have had their effect on you. And you have been sitting, watching as others fight the battle. We need to understand that God will not allow those who begin and then turn aside to remain in His spiritual army. Nor will they have the promise of the rewards that are given to His faithful. So my encouragement to you is, if you believe and want to return, why not re-enlist? God is ready and willing to welcome you back into the fold. The army needs you, His spiritual army. Why not prepare yourself for battle as we stand and as we sing?